Whether you vote by mail, touchscreen, or ballot box, there's a certain ritual to the electoral process. And on the first Tuesday in November, T.R. Reid of the Washington Post has a long-standing ritual of his own. He joins us now from Centennial, Colorado, from the hills of Colorado. Good morning, T.R.
Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Tell us about this Election Day practice of yours.
Well, you know, Renee, we lived overseas a number of years, and we always thought it was important for our American kids to know how lucky they were to be American. So one thing we did was we always celebrated Election Day. You know, we would put out bunting on the dining room table, and I would give a lecture. There's 6 billion people in the world, and only a tiny minority get to choose their leaders. But, you know, when I would do this, my kids, their eyes would roll. They'd say, oh, God, Dad, there he goes again, you know. And then I found this fantastic poem, The Poor Voter on Election Day by John Greenleaf Whittier. It said everything about the right to vote and Election Day much better than I could. So for many years now, we've been reading this poem at our house every Election Day, and I think the kids even like it.
Well, it is Election Day, and we want you to read this poem, but tell us about John Greenleaf Whittier.
Whittier was a 19th century poet. He was a contemporary of Thoreau, Emerson, Whitman. He is best known for these kind of idyllic rural poems about New England, snowbound. But he was really a very political poet. He was a fighting abolitionist. His first big successful book of poems was Voices of Freedom. And then he did this great poem, which I think every American ought to hear on Election Day. You ready?
Yeah.
The Poor Voter on Election Day by John Greenleaf Whittier. The proudest now is but my peer, the highest not more high. Today, of all the weary year, a king of men am I. My palace is the people's hall, the ballot box my throne, for there alike are great and small, the nameless and the known. Who serves today upon the list beside the serve shall stand, alike the brown and wrinkled fist, the gloved and dainty hand. The rich is level with the poor, the weak is strong today, and sleekest broadcloth counts no more than homespun frock of gray. Today let pomp and vain pretense my stubborn right abide. I set a plain man's common sense against the pedant's pride. Today shall simple manhood try the strength of golden land. The wide world has not wealth to buy the power in my right hand. While there's a grief to seek redress or balance to adjust, where weighs our living manhood less than mammon's vilest dust, while there's a right to need my vote, a wrong to sweep away, up, clouded knee and ragged coat, a man's a man today.
And, of course, he was writing in the early 1800s. He surely
I'd
now
say about 1840s, yeah.
He surely would have expended those sentiments to women.
I think he would have. He definitely wanted to give the vote to blacks, which is a pretty radical position at his time. So I think he was probably for women's suffrage, too. This poem is really about a very radical idea, the notion that even people who had no property should be allowed to vote.
T.R. Reid is a regular here on Morning Edition and Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. T.R., where are you going to be voting?
I'm going to vote at the Wilshire Hills Presbyterian Church in Denver. And the wide world has not the wealth to buy the power in my right hand today.
Thanks again.
Happy voting day, Renee.